I think the thing that's lost on a lot of people, Clint, is that this is a sale of a going concern business. It's a land-rich going concern business, but it's a sale of S. Kidman and Company, the company. There'll be implications for them. I don't understand what they all are. Obviously, their advisors do, but there'll be implications for them in capital gains tax and other things, no doubt. And so there's really an incentive to sell it in one line as a business. The other important thing is there's been 150 years of human endeavour that's gone into building that business, a lot of which was Sir Sidney's himself. So there's always going to be a disincentive on that basis to sell it down in parts.
The latest bid for the Kidman Empire has been withdrawn before the Treasurer has formally said he would block the sale, but essentially all but said that he would block the sale. Do you think the next bid they'll receive will be as high as $370 million from whoever places that bid?
$370 million is a fantastic result. Would it ever been able to have been a result for the assets and widely regarded in the market as a significant premium to what I think the general market's expectations were. Will somebody else come out of the woodwork? Well, you know, we're looking at a circumstance where we're in a perfect storm in relation to investment in beef properties. There's a significant amount of capital out there and it's not all foreign. So I wouldn't be so sure that there won't still be a significant amount of money offered for the assets, but I certainly don't think it's going to be sub $300 million, as a lot of the domestics are hoping.
Given the experience of the advisors to this deal and the fact that Anna Creek was carved out of this particular bid, were you surprised to find out that the Treasurer had indicated that he would say no to this sale?
Yes, I think probably demonstrates some shifting sands. You know, the Ernst & Young team here are consummate professionals. They've been around. They wouldn't make a misstep like putting something up that they thought wouldn't be approved. I'm fairly confident that somebody's changed the rules for them and that at some point in time there must have been some indication that selling Anna Creek separately and doing something with a 20% Australian content would get it across the line, and somebody's decided for their own reasons, and perhaps we're not being told the full story, that that's an inadequate structure.
What does it mean for future bids of this nature that a 20% stake isn't enough from the people that you deal with, the buyers that you deal with? What kind of message has been sent by this decision?
The message that's being sent is appalling. To be candid, anybody that was advising the Treasurer should have been saying to him, less is more. They should have been saying to the Treasurer, you know, by all means, give your view and say no. I don't have an issue with people saying no. What I do have an issue with is all the additional reasons that were given that aren't actually reasons for the decision. That's really giving no confidence to the market that if somebody's been through an 18-month sale process, that they've spent significant amounts on due diligence, that they've engaged with all of the appropriate regulators and government departments, that there is a strong likelihood that they'll be able to get something across the line into settlement. So I think the whole investment community now is looking at this and saying, if we come into Australia and we're dealing with a high-profile asset, something that's sort of over $100 million, $200 million, that there is genuine risk about, even if we've been through a sales process and we as vendor and purchaser have agreed some consideration in a deal structure, that it's going to be approved by the FIRB and the Treasurer.